Thank you for listening to Kinetic Podcast. This is a podcast dedicated to those who work in children's ministry and those who are committed to reaching this current generation. We hope what you're about to hear inspires and challenges you to be more effective in reaching kids for Christ. Thank you and enjoy the episode.
Hey everyone, welcome to Kinetic Podcast. My name is Josh Combs. Thank you so much for listening tonight, whether you're listening on iTunes or on kineticpodcast.com. It is so good to have you on this very special episode. About a year ago, I had the idea of myself and Rick Krause, who's not with us tonight, but we had the idea of having a special episode that's different from what we usually do. And those of you that listen to our podcast, you know our usual format is for about 30 minutes once a month. We take the time with two kids evangelists or kids ministers or people that are involved in kids ministry on a regular basis, and we just take some time to ask them questions to pick their brain. Well, last year, we had the idea of having a special one-on-one interview with the one and only Lloyd Squires, the King's Clown, and he's been in the kids evangelist for 30 years, and we'll hear he'll tell us more about his ministry in just a minute. And so we're going to make this an annual thing. We had a bunch of listeners and a bunch of people really respond to last year's interview. And so tonight, one more time for our second annual interview, it is such a huge honor to have a good friend of mine. And he's known to many, to literally hundreds and thousands across the country. And it is so good to have Brother Lloyd Squires, the King's Clown. Brother Squires, thank you so much again for being on the podcast with us tonight.
My honor, Joshua. You don't mind if I call you Joshua, do you?
Yeah, you know, that's fine. That's fine. It's okay. Very formal. So, but I'll just stick to Brother Squires. Is that all right?
Okay. Yes, yes.
Or Brother King's Clown. It doesn't really have the same. Apostle King's Clown. There you go. That sounds like an oxymoron. So, Brother Squires, let's just kind of, I know last year, you kind of explained to us the whole testimony of how you got involved in kids ministry. But tonight, I'd like to kind of talk about the moments of your ministry and just moments that you remember, you know, because when you evangelize, and myself, you know, I've had the privilege to evangelize for just a short time, but you make memories every week. You know, you meet amazing
yes.
people, you see amazing things. And just, you know, starting off, how many years have you been evangelizing full time?
Well, next month it'll be 37 years. Oh, full-time,
wow.
I'm sorry. I've been the King's Clown 37 years, full-time 24.
Wow, full-time for 24. So for 24 years, your main living has come from being a child evangelist.
You know, that's why I got so fat. I was living in a suitcase. I assumed the shape. Lived in a suitcase
yeah.
for 20-something years, and I just got, you know, suitcase-shaped.
Yeah, that's a good. Well, and from what I know, you completely changed your diet. You've gone on a vegan diet. Is that correct?
Daniel fast 2 years now, over two.
There
years.
You go. Wow. And so you can show evangelists that hey, it is possible. It might be tough, but it is possible to travel and to live healthy. But that's you know that's another topic. So
yes, sir.
Requires, in those 24 years, how many approximately children have you seen filled with the Holy Ghost, would you say?
Very conservatively, a minimum of 20,000 souls, all ages.
Wow.
I've been filled with the Holy Ghost.
That is awesome. That's amazing. And just off the top of your head, again, I know these are big numbers, but how many states have you been to?
All but three. I'm missing the
three.
Dakotas and Utah.
Okay. So Dakotas and Utah. So if you're listening.
Oh, and Wyoming.
Anybody?
I'm sorry. Four states.
And
Wyoming.
So four states?
Yeah.
Okay. So Wyoming, Utah, and North and South Dakota. So anyone that's listening from those states, you can be the very first church in those states to have the King's Clown. I'm just saying. Just want to plug that in there. So that's incredible. Now, I know you've done some international travel as well. Well, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I probably will. Let me do the highlight, altar highlight. That we were talking
okay.
about before, and that well, I'll incorporate, you know, different places I've been. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. So, in your travels, kind of again, I know you preached to thousands and thousands of children, and you've seen many, many receive the Holy Ghost. So just kind of share with us some of those highlights that you experienced in the altar calls. And as an evangelist, you know, the altar call is very important. That's what we aim for. That's our goal is to have a chance for children and people to respond and to receive the Holy Ghost. So just kind of go ahead and just take the floor and share some of your most memorable experiences in the altar.
Thank you. I want to start with a church I was at somewhere in the South many years ago, at least 20 years ago, a mid-sized church, about 150 people, wonderful pastor, and his little girl got the Holy Ghost that night, speaking in other tongues. She was about six. And the pastor was so thrilled. It was wonderful to see parents who are thrilled. Unfortunately, we don't see that every time. You know, I don't know what goes on in parents' minds. But this pastor and his wife were thrilled that the little girl got the Holy Ghost, and they gave her the microphone. She's still at the altar, still kind of stammering lips and crying a lot. And they gave her the mic, and she said, "Church." This little six-year-old girl said, "Church, I've been praying for the Holy Ghost. I just received the Holy Ghost, and now I'm a brand new man."
That's awesome.
I died, man. I laid on the altar and just died, man. It was awesome. And about the same year, maybe the next year, same situation, little boy, about 8-year-old boy, pastor's son, gave him the microphone, and he said, little 8-year-old boy, he said, "I just got the Holy Ghost. I've been praying for this for years and years and years." Then he just started blurting off in the Holy Ghost again. It was awesome, man.
Wow. That's incredible.
And, one thing I've seen, I was at an altar one time, a large altar, a huge altar, and maybe a rally, hundreds of people there. And they were a long altar, huge, long altar. And after preaching, people, grown-ups were getting the Holy Ghost at this one. I don't remember what the event was. And they were all just running up there, basically just running up there and getting the Holy Ghost. And I'm on this platform, it's pretty tall, 4 feet tall, and I'm reaching down and I'm praying for people. And I'm going down the altar. And I laid my hands on this young lady, beautiful young lady, 20s or early 20s, and she was in stammering lips. And everybody, I just going down the line, everybody was getting the Holy Ghost, and I just knew she was too. And all of a sudden, bro, from out of nowhere almost, this lady came up from behind her and grabbed her chest, grabbed her from behind and grabbed her chest. Didn't say anything. She didn't do anything. She just grabbed her. Well, that lady opened up her eyes. She opened up her eyes, and guess who was praying with her? Me. So I immediately lifted my hands, like, you know, in surrender, and backed up a step. And I promise you, bro, I couldn't tell where that lady went. She came up, grabbed her, and left the building, evidently. And so I saw my whole ministry leave. I saw everything I'd worked for up to this time. I saw it all fall apart. It was the most awful thing that's ever happened to me at an altar. And down the altar, way down the altar, the pastor's wife was kneeling down praying with two little girls. Had her eyes, head bowed and eyes closed, praying with two little girls. And she told me that a hand picked her chin up and turned her chin, and she saw the whole thing. And she immediately ran over and talked to the lady who gave me the eyes of forgiveness and beckoned me to pray with her again, and she did receive the Holy Ghost. Here's what I learned. Be careful, little hands, what you touch. Let everybody in the building know where your hands are. When you see me, walk through a large altar at Louisiana and places, I got my hands up.
Yeah,
So at the altar, I've learned all the lessons that have helped me with my ministry. It's at the altar that I learned humility and meekness and forgiveness and love and charity. It's at the altar I've learned everything that I know. It's at the altar. I'm asking the Lord to help me with my finances, and the Lord, I get back to the motel room, living out of a suitcase. My wife calls and tells me about Dave Ramsey, and the guy saved our financial lives, man. And I strongly recommend any evangelist, don't use credit, and get solvent. Get your bills paid, get solvent. We don't do this for money. You're not going to make a lot of money, probably. I don't know anyone of us that has it yet, but you have to save that money ahead of time. I save money for, like right now, I've been off for 3 months virtually. But I saved my money throughout the good months, you know, summer camps, and now we're living off that.
Wow.
Is it a lot? No. Is it a lot? No. But it's enough. And all God ever promised us is enough. And you see people with a lot, but you don't know what they had to do to get it or what they have to compromise to keep it.
That's good.
And so all we need is enough. And a strong recommendation there to get your finances in order as soon as possible.
That's good.
Now, another altar, I was in the Philippines, and I've been in Manila. I've been all around the central areas of Philippines and preached all around there. But one time I took a flight 5 hours from Manila, still in the Philippines. They have all these islands, on an island called Puerto Princesa. And I see the superintendent of the Philippines every year at General Conference, runs up to me, hugs me, kisses me, thanks me for saving that entire city. And that happened at an altar, a locked up city, a church struggling, people, what precious people there. And so the clown comes in, and they're all very clown sympathetic. I mean, they were happy to have me there, but they didn't take it seriously. And I'll never forget when those series of services broke at an altar. And I can't remember what I was preaching, but I know when I was playing. I bought them a keyboard, a little bitty old Casio keyboard, like you get here for $100 or so. It cost $450 there on that island.
Wow.
And I bought them a keyboard, and I played El Shaddai. And as I played El Shaddai, and they sang it in Tagalog, it broke. And at that altar, with my own eyes, and my own hands, they brought people to me with no eyes, not just blind eyes. There was no color in the eyes. It's all gone. Just white eyes. An elderly man. And God put the eyes back in his head immediately. And he could see for the first time in his life. And many notable miracles. The goiter came through the lady's neck and into my hand. I promise. But this all happened because of an altar. And
wow.
I tell you, we all have an ego. And I've told you before, there's no competition to us which are in Christ Jesus. We shouldn't be competitive. And everybody says to me when I tell them that, that's easy for you to say. No, it's not. It's harder for me to say. You know, because I don't want to win. I don't want to beat anybody. I don't want to be better than anybody. I don't want a competitive spirit to get amongst us. You understand me?
Yeah.
And it was there that I learned that to the 100% humility that comes through serving the Lord. And I saw miracles I can't even remember anymore. There were so many. But in all of that, not one person, listen to me, not one person came up to me afterwards and praised me. We ended that whole night. I think we prayed for 6 hours. We didn't praise anybody but Jesus. And I think that's what we need to do. Many of you have never seen angels. Maybe you never will, but I want you to begin to pray, begin to fast, and at least believe that they're there during the altar call. If you can't see them, that's okay. And maybe most of you won't, but you have to recognize that they're there because Jesus promised they would be there. And the only way to do that is to take the altar seriously. Now, I have an ego. I got off on a rabbit there. I have an ego. We all do. But years ago, I forced my ego to become an alter ego. And without the altar, I am nothing.
Wow.
And anything I need, I get at the altar. I have one here. I'm standing. I'm standing in my altar as I speak to you at my home. And the altar is everything to me. I have an alter ego. When I'm happy, I need the altar. When I'm sad, I need the altar. When I have money, I really need the altar. I need the Lord to tell me how to spend it. When I don't have any money, I really need the altar. and everything. I have an alter ego. And this took away my competitive spirit. Of course, I have one. This took away my competitive spirit, my knowledge, permanently. And now we all work together. And that's my strongest encouragement to all of us. But I learned all this at the altar. The altar is very, very critical to me.
And wow.
Man doesn't have a private, what Jesus called a closet, a prayer closet. Don't expect to see these things. Just don't expect it. And then you're just working for hire. You know, you're hiring. And you're just doing a job. And this isn't, that's dangerous stuff to me, because if you offend a little one, you're going to get it rocked tight around your neck, bro. So I take it very, very seriously. I'm a clown. I like to play. I'm a clown, but I ain't playing. I guess we'll put it like that. And the altar is everything to me. More altar things that I've seen. Same altar, the big altar I was telling you about, a big church in Texas. Years later, a couple years later, I gave my personal testimony about being abused and molested and how the Lord brought me out of that. And there were people from all kinds of other countries at this huge church. And as I gave the altar call, again, they hit that altar like that. But instead of praying up at the altar that time, you know, leaning over and praying to people, I ran down, I threw my hands up, and I ran down amongst the people. And I was immediately guided by the Holy Spirit to go and pray with this wonderful-looking foreigner family. And it was a man, a wife, another lady, and two or three kids. Turns out they were Romanian. And they weren't saying anything because they didn't get anything out of service, and they didn't understand anything, but they felt compelled to come to the altar. And so I motioned to them if it's okay if I prayed with them, and they nodded yes. So I began to pray with them, Josh. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God took over me. I began to speak in tongues for 15 minutes. I spoke in perfect Romanian and preached them the same message I just preached to the other people.
Wow.
And when I opened my eyes, they were all getting the Holy Ghost at my feet.
That's amazing.
Several of them did. I think one of the ladies didn't, but the mom and dad and one of the kids received the Holy Ghost. Of course, members of the church had come up and were praying with them as well. First time I ever preached, I went to formerly Gateway, in 77. And I was a brand new baby in the Lord, but they didn't know that, I guess. And we're going to do a street service in downtown St. Louis, and everybody was intimidated. I didn't even know that word till then. I didn't know what it meant. And they were all scared to preach down in the city, so they had me do it. Well, they didn't know, but I never preached before, ever. And so I wrote this little message. The Gateway Corral was gone down the street with us. There's many. It was a class thing. They had to go. The corral teacher, Tim Ayers, made the corral go, and the evangelist teacher, Brother Black, he made all the preachers go. So we were all there. And I had him sing Amazing Grace. I preached my very first sermon on Amazing Grace. And it did incorporate some of my past, how I was always looking for grace, but I didn't find it in my mom, didn't find it in my dad, didn't find it in the military. And finally, I found grace in the Lord. And I gave a simple altar call, and two ladies got the Holy Ghost, one on my left foot and one on my right foot, knelt down on my feet. And because it was real packed, the preachers all crowded in and stuff, and got the Holy Ghost right there. That was my very first message. And that was my first lesson in that no matter where you are, you take your altar with you.
Wow. That's
so
amazing.
Don't get me started about the altar. Very special.
I love it.
I know this is my interview, but I feel like maybe there's something you want to share, too, about the altar experience.
Well, I mean, you've given us some amazing principles, honestly, that everyone needs to hear, you know, no matter what facet of ministry that we're in, you know. So I know there's not much I can really add to that you've already said, but, you know, really, I know from my short experience of evangelizing and being a full-time ministry is that it can be easy, if we're not careful, to get caught up in the quote-unquote game, you know, to get caught up in the game of things where we're, you know, trying to get booked for the year and, and we get caught up in our ego, like you said, of going, oh man, it'd be cool to preach at this certain church or to, you know, to preach at this camp. And none of those things are wrong, but it all comes down to the basics of number one, we're living on faith as an evangelist. We're walking, you know, by faith and not by sight, you know, not by a paycheck, not by a status symbol, you know, not by a certain camp. None of those things really matter, but it's being led by the Spirit. And, you know, and like you said, that all comes down, you know, to the altar, is that we have to have that altar to draw from, you know, because at the end of it all, you know, at the end of the day, what props we have or the latest action songs, none of those things, you know, is really, none of those things is going to bring the anointing, or it's not going to break the yoke. It's not going to really reach and change kids like we want to see. It's all going to come from the altar that we draw from. And so that's some amazing, amazing, amazing advice that you've given us. And
I got a couple of statements here been rolling over in my mind. You cannot teach what you do not know, and you cannot preach what you do not live. And all I'm begging you guys to do, you ladies to do, is stay within your spiritual means. Don't try and preach something that you're not aware of or you understand fully. You know, don't try and cast demons out of people and all that kind of stuff that you're not totally capable and aware of doing. That I don't recommend anyway. That's pastor's job. But you know what I'm saying? Stay in your strength and your skills. Stay with what God has given you. And if you want more, all you got to do is ask him. Any man lacks wisdom, all you got to do is ask. And if you want gifts, all you got to do is ask. The best way to ask daddy for a gift is to love on him. You don't have to say a word, just love on him. That's the way to get gifts from daddy.
That's good.
And you get ready for this. It's a gift of the Holy Ghost. You cannot get the gift without feeling the presence.
That's awesome. That's
so
awesome.
Is there another route you wanted to go with our interview?
No, I mean, that's great. And one thing I just want to add,
I kind of want to go back to the financial part.
Okay.
There's something I need to beg you all to do, and that's not charge anybody or give anybody a number. Well, how much do you get? How much do you need? How much do you ever? But what do others pay you? That is really, it's a love offering. Sometimes it's more love than offering, but we take it just the same. And when you give a number, you're pretty much stuck with it.
Wow.
And I've seen this too many times. And those precious ministers are no longer ministering because it got out on them that they charged or how much they charged. So please, no matter how much that man begs you, if he's your best friend, it's really whatever the Lord lays on your heart. I tell, if a pastor is in and I'm older, and sits me down and says, look, I really need your help with this, how much do I need to give you? I tell him this. When your church has a need, you don't charge the church. You go to them and ask for an offering. And God always provides. He said, yes, sir. He said, that's all I'm asking you to do. You pray about it. You go to God and ask him what he wants you to give me for an offering. And I promise you, I'll live with it. Good teaching, huh, Josh?
That's good. Very good. Very good practical teaching. Because again,
if he won't get off of it and he insists, just tell him to pray about the offering and you'll live with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, again, it all goes to, you know, living by faith, you know, and one thing that an evangelist told me once, and it really helped me, is that man doesn't pay, as an evangelist, man doesn't pay me, God does. You know,
right.
As someone in full-time ministry, you know, there's been times when I was evangelizing full time, and you know I had an instance where there was a church that, you know, for whatever reason they had to cancel at the very last minute. You know, it was a Friday, and I was supposed to preach Sunday, and they canceled. And you know, as an evangelist, that's probably one of the worst things that could happen. You know,
right?
But it was one of those things where I was like, all right, God, you know what you're doing. It's in your hands. And that Monday, I received a check for $500. From a lady who at another church that I had preached at about 3 or 4 weeks before, And come to find out, she had a note with that check just saying that she felt led to just bless me in my ministry. And that taught me a valuable lesson that in the end, God takes care.
Yeah, if you let it go. But if you push it and you charge and you push for an offering and all this stuff and you poor mouth people, man, I got all these bills coming in. Just don't do that. That's not what you're there for. Back to the altar. Let me tell you about the most interesting altar. Would you like to know the most interesting altar call I've ever been in?
Yes, I think we all would.
Canada, 20-something years ago, probably 22 years ago, a big old campground. I don't remember which district in Canada it was. I think where Niagara Falls is, I think. And, dude, they have this log cabin, campground. And the sanctuary was an open sanctuary with a tin metal roof with holes in it and big log beams going across. I mean, what I liked about it was they had a great platform. It worked well. But what I liked about it was you couldn't hurt it. And one of the daytime things, you know, I always worked the daytime too, and they were doing some sort of airplane fight. And I built a full-size airplane out of balsa wood, doused it with kerosene or something, set it on fire, and threw it off the roof. Yeah. Well, yeah.
That's awesome.
That was the old days. But anyway, that's how rough and tough the campground was, and these people were so cool. But the last night I did the story of Noah, and before the service, I sent somebody into town to get a sprinkler hose. It's a hose that has lots of holes in it. It's a hose, a garden hose that has lots of holes in it. And we hooked it up and set it up, and I nailed it behind that beam right over the altar, behind that huge beam, and I made a raining altar.
Wow.
Yeah. And I had this code and everything. When I wave my bandana, you turn that water on for 15 seconds and turn it off. And we did that four times. And the story of Noah to me is a powerful story. It's my rapture message. You know, the Lord is coming back. And so but it's an awesome message, and these kids are really inspired to run up to the altar. And I let it go for about 10 minutes. It was doing great. And then I gave them the signal, and you turn that water on, and the altar rained, man, for 15 seconds. And when that altar rained for 15 seconds, 10, exactly 10, people got the Holy Ghost. And we turned it off.
Wow.
And another five, 6 minutes, four times, 40 people. Exactly.
Wow.
10 people each time.
That's incredible.
That was the funnest altar call I've ever had. Another one, New York City, a New York camp, in a building, like an old brick building. The power went out right at altar call time. And so we turned on our flashlights, and all the shy kids, exactly 12 kids, got the Holy Ghost at that altar. Exactly 12. Then
wow.
I came home in the same year, came home to Missouri camp. In that building that where they have the Urshan School, it used to be Gateway. It's a big Catholic building, and it's kind of spooky for kids at nighttime. And we had nighttime services. The very first one, the power went out. And it wasn't quite dark yet, so I sent everybody out to Radio Shack to get a megaphone or two. Give me a megaphone and a flashlight. And we had what I called a mega service. In the dark, and exactly 12 kids, some of them are friends of mine, I still know them, the shy kids got the Holy Ghost that night in the dark.
Wow.
So, both times, the leadership said, okay, that's it, let's shut it down. But I didn't want to. And both times, God was in it.
Wow.
So,
God's
He's all about the altar. In my opinion, I don't know much. I really don't. But I do know God loves us at the altar. He loves it when we pray. When we kneel, bow, humble, and pray, and confess and pray. Not standing up, running back and forth, impressing people with all the stuff, you know, but when you really touch Jesus.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, Brother Squires, you've given us some just amazing, extremely valuable information and inspiration. And again, I just want to say thank you as we wrap up here. Just thank you so much for taking the time to just share your heartbeat with us, and you just have so much wisdom and experience that we can learn from. And just really quick, you know, do you have any advice? Any? I know you've given a lot of advice, but just any last few words that you would give to anyone out there that is aspiring to be in kids ministry or aspiring to be a children's evangelist? You know, I know you've given some practical and spiritual advice, but just what's a few more words of advice that you would just give to those that are aspiring to really succeed in this ministry?
Well, can I tell them what my theme is for 2015? Maybe that'll help them with their prayers and preparation.
Go ahead. Yeah.
So every year I do a theme, especially for camps. A general theme. I do lots of themes, cowboys and all that stuff, but my general theme for 2014 was loneliness and dealing with that. And I'm not done with that. And as a continuation of that for 2015, I feel like the Lord has given me a family, how to appreciate a family or build a family or stay in a family or not leave a family, how not to pull yourself out of your family and make yourself lonely. And to work with the family. Now, family, you have a family at home. Some of us do. Some don't. Many don't nowadays. And you have some kids have two families. And they have to go this weekend, that weekend. Very hard. Cruel. It's terrible stuff. But you have a church family, and I can't guarantee you that's going to be all that great because some people don't care about kids that much. But I will tell you this. Jesus is your dad, but I don't think people realize just how much the angels play a part in a Christian's life. You have a spiritual family, and they're going to be there. They're going to be there for you if you want them to be. And if you recognize them, pull them into your life, and make God and His ministering spirit your family. And I don't care how lonely you get, how tough it gets, or how much you don't have, you can have a spiritual family. And that's what I want to key in on. The spiritual family. You know, we are compassed about by a great cloud of witnesses. And the angels, they care about if a lady grows her hair long. You don't think they care about if a kid's lonely? You know they do. And you'll have power. You'll have power with the angels if you love their master and you believe in him. You just believe that they're there. I hope that doesn't sound too crazy. But there is a third family that we all forget about, and that's the spiritual family.
That's awesome.
And we talk about the gifts of the Spirit and how they help other people. True. But to me, the most valuable thing that the gifts of the Spirit has given me is knowledge of the Spirit and the Spirit. And so I pray and ask the Lord, ask my daddy for all the gifts. I need them all. And they sure, they're powerful at the altar. But I tell you, if you've got an altar at home, they can be just as powerful for you. For you personally.
That's awesome.
So that's one. Thank you. And so,
Brother Scott,
let's go, Josh. Yes, sir.
Thank you so much again for being on this podcast tonight. And I know there's going to be many that enjoy this and that really, gain from this. I know I have as myself personally. And just thank you so very much. Really quick, what's the website? What's your website that people can go
King's
to?
Kingscrown.com.
Kingscrown.com. So if you're
interested,
if you're interested in booking the King's Crown, especially if you live in Utah, Wyoming, or North and South Dakota,
you
can go to King's Crown. Kingscrown.com, and you can get all the information you need to book for the Lord Squires. Lord Squires, thank you so much. Appreciate you and your ministry, and it's been an honor to have you tonight on the podcast.